the Vox Markets podcast.
And joining me on the podcast right now is Neil Herbert, Executive Chairman of Atlantic Lithium. That's ALL on AIM and A11 on the ASX. Neil, thanks for joining me.
Pleasure to be here again, Justin.
Yeah, and two bits of news here we'll cover, and a bit more background as well. But completion of $5 million, that's from the Mineral Income Investment Fund. There's also one been significant holder, increasing their stake. So let's talk about the subscription first. Neil, take us through that if you could.
Absolutely. So a quick summary here is this isn't a part of the agreement we reached in Ghana last year, which is to ensure Ghana has greater ownership and participation. And obviously, they are actually contributing at economic prices. So this is a good thing. They're investing at 20p, which is more or less the share price today. They put $5 million into buying shares into Atlantic Lithium. So we've completed that subscription. And the next stage is for them to acquire a 6% contributing interest in our Ewoyaa project. So that's another $27.9 million. And we hope to conclude that in the next month or so. So sort of February or March, we'll finish those agreements. So we'll have that investment. And thereafter, they'll obviously be on the hook for their share of contributions to expenditure, which we estimate to be about $11 million. So a very important step, you know, in terms of, well, one, our treasury, but also two, in terms of actually our participation in Ghana with the government.
Yeah. And RNS has created a bit of a chatter, Neil, is a TR1 notification of major holdings. And this is us all going up to 28.4%. And I was reading, John Mayer, who was on the video with me recently, said, saw notifies market of increase in shareholding of 28.4% as potential precursor to a hostile offer. So what's how is your relationship with us all? Is it all good?
So ASSA have been involved in this company as long as I have. So we're going back some 9 years. They were an investor in the IPO. They have been generally very supportive over the years. They've always liked the lithium project. They've always made that very clear that it's a project that has good characteristics and it's a nice low-cost project. So even now with these low lithium prices as they stand to say, this is a good project. So you'll see the lithium price has fallen below $1,000, which is the first time since August 2021. But this project would stand very well the test of that time and also enjoy the time when prices are higher. So they've always been very supportive of the project. Like any relationship you have, Justin, you have periods where the relationship is stronger and it's weaker. And obviously they have their objectives as an organization and we have ours. But I would say it's one of mutual respect that I respect their position and they respect the position that we have as the rest of the board. We have to look up the interests of all the shareholders, not only one shareholder. And yes, they made two offers and made two proposals to us previously at 33 pence per share. For a cash bid for the company, which we rejected because we didn't feel it was enough value for shareholders. But, I know John Mayer has covered it in his note and suggesting that there may be a hostile takeover provision. I can't deny or confirm that because I would have no knowledge of it. But we continue to have a successful relationship. I think it's been a very successful relationship over the years, and I'm sure that we will find ways to continue to work together. Obviously, this is a very busy time for us. We've been busy taking the project towards the steps to take it to production, which we're looking forward to breaking ground in September, as you know. And there are a number of steps coming up shortly, which we need to work through. Obviously, the second stage of the investment by the Sovereign Wealth Fund, our listing on the Ghana Stock Exchange, and indeed our offtake process, which is going very well at the moment, which provides for the balance of financing. So all of those things are coming up in the next couple of months, so a very busy time for us. We seek to work with ASSOR as much as we can, but also respect their position. They have their objectives, and we have to look after the interests of all shareholders.
Yeah. Okay. And the share price, it's quite stable, but it's not shooting up at the moment. And isn't that just a play on lithium spodumene? Is that a case? And when it goes, what is it? 2025 expected to go into deficit? Is that right, lithium? And then essentially, the timing's perfect for you, isn't it?
It does work in our favour. At the end of the day, if you have a low-cost project, and it's interesting to reflect, as I say, that the lithium price is now almost a tenth of what the peak of the price was the year before last. Nevertheless, if you've got a low-cost project, or a lower cost project such as ours, then this is something that always survives. So in terms of timing, yes, it's probably going to work very well for us in terms of the uptick. I don't think it'll be very interesting the next 3 months, as a lot of projects were put into production which have a relatively high cost profile. And so I think what you'll see is over the next 3 months is several other projects, a couple have already been announced, will be closing down their mining operations or postponing the potential expansion of their mines. So that should actually put the market into balance relatively quickly over the course of this year. But the outlook for 2025 and 2026 is very good. And as everyone can see, that the rollout of EV vehicles is ongoing, so the demand for lithium is continually growing. I was interested. I was in central London last week, and I did see that BYD now have the Chinese EV manufacturer has a really nice showroom just down from Berkeley Square. Wow. How times change, Justin.
Yeah. Wow, that's amazing. And then there was a report that they were selling more cars than Tesla recently, I think. So
they are. They're now out in front, and I think the reality is that a lot of people are going to be driving Chinese EVs, and it will, yes, Chinese car manufacturer probably be leading manufacturers in the world in 10 years' time.
Yeah. Well, let's be honest. I mean, you know, if you look at the most concerns that people have about EVs, is the price point. And like I said, Chinese manufacturers, I assume their cars are cheaper. There's quality, if they can hit that quality. And then there's charging. And I mean, that will, you know, over time, that will be fine because batteries will get better anyway and more charging points will come on. So it's nothing there that will stop the slow migration or the quick migration towards EVs, is there really, you know?
No, it's difficult to see what would stand in the way of it now. I think we're already so advanced, it's inevitable, particularly in Europe. And the reality is the price is falling. So I looked at the BYD model, which is equivalent of the Model 3. Yeah, it looked very impressive. But it's £46,000, which is quite expensive. But in China, I know that there are models there that are now around the £20,000 mark and below. So the costs are quickly falling. And then your running costs are obviously significantly lower, and your repair bills are obviously significantly lower than you would be with a petrol car. So it does seem to be happening in front of our very eyes, Justin.
Yeah, yeah. A little bit off topic, but I suppose, not so much. I mean, obviously, you're a busy man, but you're involved with a helium play in Toronto. And I know over here there's been some interest in helium. So what is it? Is it pulsar helium? Is that right?
Yeah, that's correct. So pulsar helium is, I've been involved with helium for a long time, for about 10 years now. Identified this project many years ago, and we listed it in Canada last year. And it's already flowed over 10% helium, so it's not a exploration play. We're at the appraisal stage. So looks like a very good project indeed. We are planning to initiate that well on the 2nd of February. So it's pretty exciting right now. So I'm pretty excited about that. My day job is very much Atlantic Lithium, but I'm very supportive of the team there. I financed the project initially and indeed invested in the IPO round recently as well. So it's a great project. I'm really watching that space right now. So good luck to the team in Minnesota.
Yeah, well, just explain, for people not aware of helium, the profile and the demand and the uses of it. Explain if you could.
So the biggest end user is healthcare. So it's used in MRI scanners, but it's also used in rocket technology. It's used in disk storage. So yeah. For another thing, so it has very low friction. It has a lot of characteristics that no other gas has, and you can't really use in substitution. So it's the market's largely been out of balance for the last 10 years, in which it's actually been supply constrained, and the major suppliers of helium have had to ration end users for supply. So if you talk to the universities, they'll often say, we desperately need helium to run experiments, which we just can't get availability of. So this project is actually in the US. We think it has potential to be a game changer in North American supply. So the US used to be the biggest supplier of helium in the world, not so very long ago, but those reserves were depleted and exhausted. So this would be quite something if we pull this off. So I'm really looking forward to that.
Yeah, excellent stuff. Neil, thanks for that, and hopefully we'll catch up in the not-too-distant future. Thanks a lot.
I look forward to that, Justin.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.